Lila Ganoussi is a local activist who is immunocompromised, and despite the pandemic, is leading the effort to organize events in Reno honoring Black lives and protesting police brutality. KUNR's Stephanie Serrano spoke to her about her experience as a Black woman and what to expect from a peace vigil organized for Sunday.
Thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely.
Lila, when did your activism start?
If I'm honest, since I was a kid. I've always been a very loud, active voice in my community, even since I was about 10 years old. Where I started to liberate my voice was when I was in high school. Due to the lack of diversity in my high school, I noticed quite a few different injustices. And that's when I really started to find my voice, was seeing how our education system worked and how it didn't actually honor people of color and our history and education in that aspect. Also, we had to transfer schools due to racial slurs and comments that were being made about my mother and her having three Black children. My mother's white, my father's Black. I hadn't even noticed that my mom didn't look like me until somebody else started calling it out. So my parents came from two different sides of the tracks, and to see what my mom went through, and especially back in the early 90s and 2000s, you know, we would have people come up to us and would ask, are we adopted, or if she's the nanny. And my mother, she really instilled a voice in us to stand on our own and to be independent and not to be afraid to show who we are. And my father did too. My grandmother always said we have to be twice as better. We have to do twice as much to be heard and to be seen.
Your father served in the military for 21 years. What kind of injustices has he experienced in his lifetime?
My father has been arrested multiple times with us in the car, where they detain him because of how big he is. And my father was not doing anything illegal. Or because every time that I moved into a new house, most of them were white neighborhoods. My father really wanted to have us in better schools as a mother. And every time my father moved into a new house, we had the cops called on us. It took twice as long for us to warm up to our neighbors. Seeing that and seeing how sometimes he had to be quiet out of fear of something happening to us, or us seeing something happening to him because of those police officers, I saw how much that hurt him. You know, he's a big guy, and for him having to make himself seem smaller and quieter, you know, seeing that, it really changed how I decided to utilize my voice, because sometimes I feel like his gets taken away from him because he is a big Black man.
Lila, you organized a Black Lives Matter protest this past weekend in Reno to raise awareness against police brutality and systemic racism alongside the nation. Why take the lead?
This is all just bringing renewed attention to the persistent inequalities in wealth, health, and opportunity between Blacks and whites despite the economic prosperity of recent years. I see the national averages of what goes on here in Reno face-to-face every day. But when I started looking at the numbers and realizing that I have a voice that I've kind of allowed to be hushed, that's what made me speak out. I also am immunocompromised, and I still was like, this is something that we have to actually use our voices for the people like myself that didn't hear voices when I was young. You aren't heard, and you're not seen. That's the thing that sticks with me most. If you aren't hearing me, you aren't seeing me. And my voice is the quickest to be shushed. For me, Black Lives Matter doesn't end today or yesterday. It's an everyday thing. And, you know, I sit here every day and I worry about my father. I worry about, you know, my future children. I worry about my brother and my brother-in-law. It's a constant worry every day, and it's actually tiresome.
You mentioned being immunocompromised, but not letting that stop you from being out in public. Are you thinking of the health of those who are attending protests?
I am thinking about the health perspective. So, like, for myself personally, I made sure that I took all the precautions I needed to. But the way that I see it, there's two pandemics going on. This has been a pandemic that has been here since day one of our country building itself. And I saw how fast our country and our cities and our communities moved in the sweep of COVID. And that really brought to attention to me, why haven't we moved like that, not just for our people of color and Black lives, but also for our homeless or other aspects of injustice in our community.
Can you remind the community what the Black Lives Matter message is?
It is a movement. You know, this is, it's not a tactic of struggle. Like, it really is an outcome. Peace is an outcome, and I think that's the message, is peace is an outcome, not a tactic. Some of us become desensitized to what has happened, and that makes it hard for them sometimes to utilize their voices. And I think that we need to honestly think about that and kind of start to say we still need to be heard and remember this movement. Remember that this injustice happens every single day. It can't be another 2014, another 2016. This can't be in every four, 2 to 4 years wave where this happens. We really do need to completely restructure what's going on in our system.
Piggybacking off of that, you are now organizing a peaceful vigil this Sunday from 4 to 6 at the City Plaza by the Reno Believe sign. What can people expect?
We're really trying to bring a really great energy to this event. We're going to have some really great local artists and people sharing their poetry and their music to open up with. Then we're going to also open up the voices of the community and allow people to come up. And they can speak on police brutality, they can speak on something that they faced that was racial injustice, or they can even just go out there and express how they're feeling during this time or what it's like to be them living in Reno or in America, whether they be people of color or if they're Black. We're going to hear people, we're going to see people. We want to be heard, and this is a cry to our community and our city.